Good evening.
Good evening.
Here it is, Memorial Day 2008. So what I would like us to do for just 1 minute is just close our eyes and let's see and think peace. And let's see that peace pouring all over the world. If you can bring into your mind, into your imagination, that old advertisement for the paint company that used to pour its paint all over the earth. Think of peace just flowing all down over the earth. Like red paint. And know that that peace is touching every individual on this planet. And that peace is the reality. I will be quiet a moment while you do that. Now with that done, let's know right here and right now that this was the most powerful treatment that we could ever do, and that it has absolutely changed the attitude of this world. And we let that be so, and so it is. Well, tonight is the end, of course, the end of the month, and it's also the end of our series, and it's also questions and answers. So you get to answer or ask questions, which I will answer. But before we do that, let's back up a moment and see what we did during the month. During the month, the whole idea of the month was, what would it be like if you really knew this teaching? If you really accepted this teaching, if you really gave up race mind, if you really understood how much you are in what we call psychic sleep, that you are allowing this world to tell you how to behave instead of looking into your own life, into your own mind, into your own heart, and into your own spirit, so that you are quite capable of running your own life and seeing things completely differently. The whole idea is to learn not to just accept things as somebody tells you. I call that second-hand information. What we want in this world is first-hand information. We want you to be able to experience this whole thing that we call God, not just as a wonderful story that you've heard since you were little children, but to start to experience what does this really mean. You know, I often say that we are born into a conversation that is already going on. And the conversation that's already going on in our generation is the idea that we can create or co-create. In past centuries, the conversation was not there. As we have evolved, we have come to this point in our spiritual evolution where we realize that we can create something. And that is what you have to understand, that your thoughts are creating something, that your attitudes are creating something, that little exercise that we did using our imagination and letting peace pour over this world You have to know that that worked. That it wasn't just, oh, isn't that nice? Oh, I feel so good about that. You have to know that it works. You have to know that what you did is now in operation. That is what this is all about, bringing you into your own power, you see. We spend entirely too much time talking about God instead of becoming God. It's all well and good to know all these things about God. But if you cannot use God and you cannot use this power, it's of no use to you whatsoever. So the conversation that you're living in at the present moment is that we create our own reality. If you're uncomfortable with that, you can also say you co-create with God. But any way you look at it, you have to take responsibility now for what you are creating in your life. You can no longer blame anybody. You cannot blame your parents. Give that up, please. That's so tiresome. You cannot blame your boss. You cannot blame your spouse. And you cannot blame God. You have to take full responsibility because you're creating everything. As soon as you take full responsibility for everything, you set yourself free. You see, the freedom comes with that responsibility. We often talk about, or we have been talking about, the secret and how it flared up and came through, and people made a lot of money selling those talking head tapes. But what is the secret? People say, oh, well, that's the secret is the law of attraction. We want to attract this into our lives. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. The secret is you create your own reality. That's the secret. You see, in the secret, they never told you that, did they? Because they kept it a secret. That's why it's called the secret. Yes, it has to do with the law of attraction. But the secret is you create your own reality. And you do that with the law of attraction. You do that by using your mind. You do that with using your thinking. You do that by becoming to realize that what you think about, you bring about. That it's a mental world we live in. That everything that you see on this plane of action is done with your mind. That's the illusion. You have to remember that you're creating an illusion. The other thing to remember in this whole month is that you can make up anything that you want. And you do that because you have an imagination, which is the biggest and best gift that you have ever been given. It's the biggest tool that you have in your toolbox. And no one wants to pull it out and use it. But it is your imagination. And then, of course, we always talk about the idea that you have to become more and think more about yourself. And you do that by remembering what?
You are deserving.
And that you matter. You have to remember that. Your whole life will boil down to one thing. And one thing only. And that is self-esteem. What do you think about yourself? Always going to boil down to your self-esteem, or it's going to boil down to, are you worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and do you matter? So anything that's going on in your life is going to boil down to that. So you can save yourself a great deal of money in therapy and so forth, if you remember those four items and change them, you'll save. Tens of thousands of dollars you can save. It's always going to be that. Anything is going to boil down to that. Or it boils down to what I always say, there is only ever one problem. If you're having a problem, what is that problem? It's a God problem. The only problem you could ever have is a God problem. Meaning, how big is your God? How big is your God? If you're having a problem, it's because you do not believe that God is a source and supply. You do not believe that God is your health. You do not believe that God is your wealth, that God is your creativity. You do not believe that this thing called God operates in, as, and through you. You do not believe that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is. These are the items, these are the things that you must convince your mind to do. And we know that we are not our minds, do we not? But yet we fall for our mind every time, don't we? If our mind says, oh, this starts to criticize, you go right over there. And you say, well, that's it. You see, you can't do that. Your mind is not your friend. It never was your friend. It will never be your friend. It has never brought you any good news whatsoever. Has your mind ever said, oh, I think you're absolutely wonderful? You have to train your mind to say that. Remember, you have to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. But your mind is not on automatically going to do that because you live in this world. And you live in what's called race mind. And race mind does not teach you that. Race mind does not teach success. Race mind teaches failure. And will always teach failure. Race mind will always tell you 10 reasons why you can't do something. Your mind will immediately, if you have an idea, will tell you 5 reasons why that cannot be done. You must train your mind to tell you 5 reasons why that can be done. You see, it's done with your mind. It's a mental world that you live in. A mental world. Starting next Monday, we are doing the mental equivalent. And you will find in the mental equivalent, the main thing is, Emmett Fox says, if you want to teach your children anything, teach them that they live in a mental world. If they know that they live in a mental world, they will succeed in this life. It has nothing to do with mathematics, reading, and all those other things that you think that it has something to do with. They're all well and good. But mathematics will not bring you happiness. Mathematics will not bring you success in life. It will not bring you fulfillment. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you here is always you must get a different idea of yourself and of this life that you're in. You see, most people, what are most people out there struggling to do? They're just trying to not only make a living, they're trying to find out what their purpose is in life. What job are they supposed to have? You see. But give that up, people. That's a secondary idea. That's why you're not getting anywhere. You're not here for that. All that will be added on to you once you find the kingdom of heaven. All else is added on to you. You're saying. So start concentrating on the fulfillment of your soul, or what we call completing the soul. And start thinking about that. What does my soul need? You're saying. And your job in your right place will come into being. Everyone comes to this plane of action with what is called a divine design. A divine design. And you find that divine design by going within. And then all else is added onto you. So, give up the idea, oh, I haven't found my right place yet. You have found your right place. Give it up. Everyone, yes, everyone. Oh, I think, who am I? What am I? I told you before, give that idea up. Who am I? You know exactly who you are. You're a child of God. You're a child of the universe. You're an emissary of light and love. These are the things you are. Who do you think you are? You know, Jack the Ripper? No? No, you let your mind spin you into all these tailspins all the time. Instead of saying, listen here, I know exactly who I am. I know exactly where I came from. You know, oh, where did I come from? Where am I going to? Oh, please. What kind of questions are these? You believe in God. You believe that God is the creator. You believe that God created you. Therefore, you must be a child of God if you want to put it in that plane of language. And then your mind says, oh, who am I? Where did I come from? Didn't you just throw religion right out the window with that and everything else? You see, you have to give those ideas up. That's the world. And that's that mind of yours. It's just going to keep you spinning all the time. Instead of stopping and saying, listen, I know exactly who I am. Why are you afraid to say to somebody when they say to you, who are you? Well, I know exactly who I am. I'm a child of God. You think they'll run the other way and think you're nuts, don't you? You see? Worst that can happen, they'll think you're a Mormon. But you have to stop doing that. You're hiding all the time, aren't you? You see, we hide because we're afraid to admit. We're absolutely afraid to admit that we have any spirituality whatsoever. We hide behind it instead of saying, yes, I know who I am. And I know there is a God, and I know that I am on this plane of action, and I'm moving right through this plane of action to another plane of action, another plane of action, another plane of action. That there's always world without end. There's always life without end. You hear that all the time, and then you say, well, I wonder where I'm going, what's going on here, I wonder what I'm doing. Does it make sense now, does it? Does it? So the whole idea of this teaching, you would turn it into a religion, as I say. You would turn it into a philosophy. But the whole idea boils down to, what are you thinking and what are you thinking about yourself? And what do you want your life to be like? You have the tool to make your life what you want it to be. Does anyone remember what that tool is? Your imagination. We have made up everything. The problem is we agree with somebody who made something up. You see, because they're smarter, we think. And because more of them are thinking in that direction. So we say, oh, well, then that must be the way to think. You see, that must be the way to think. You see, years ago, they showed you this whole picture of this man called Jesus with a little sheep in his hand and this great big hook. Because all religion wants you to think that you're a sheep, you know, and sheep are the dumbest animals on the plane. Absolutely stupid, you know, if one goes over the cliff, they all follow. And that's what the world wants you to do. They want you to be sheep. This is going on. This is what you should wear today. Oh, yes, okay. I'm going to wear all that. You see? Don't be sheep. Stop looking at that picture. Don't be sheep. You see? If you want to be anything, always be the lead dog. Remember, if you're not the lead dog, your view never changes. Think of it. If you're not the lead dog, your view never changes. You're looking into the rear end of the other dog all the time. Always strive to be the lead dog. Okay? So that's what this whole teaching is about. Learning to teach you to think for yourself. Never what to think. This teaching does not teach people what to think. It teaches people how to think and how to use your mind and allow you to think the way you want to think. If you want to think that the law of attraction does this, this, and this, you may do that. And then you must live in that. You're making up your own reality. You're making up your own world. And when you do that, you're making up the rules for that reality and for that world. And that reality and that world must follow your rules. That's what it's about. So the secret is, you create your own reality. And you do that with your thinking, with your thoughts. You do that with your thoughts. your opinion, your viewpoint. Your attitudes. And all of those are under your control. All of those are under your control. And when you change them, your world changes. Your world changes. If you're in a bad mood, you can't blame that on anybody else but your own self. You say, no one can get you into a bad mood but your own thinking. If you think yourself into it, now think yourself out of it. It's all done with controlling your thinking. With controlling your thinking. So do experiments with yourself. If you're down, if you're feeling bad and angry and all that stuff, sit down and say, listen, I'm causing all this now. I'm stopping it. And then learn to control that and learn to stop it. But you don't. You let it run its course for 3-4 days. You see, it's the old thing. A young person once asked a master, a yoga, well, doesn't anything affect you? You always seem to be so calm and cool. He says, everything affects me. I just correct it quickly. Everything affects everyone. You just learn to correct it more quickly than the other person. You see, if things didn't affect you, there'd be no sense living. Everything affects you. And you have to say, oh, that's affecting me. Well, I don't want that doing that. I don't want that. You're the one who has to pick and choose those things. But you think you see everyone else falling apart. You see everyone else carrying on. And you say, oh, that's the way humans do it. So I think I'll be a human and I'll gnash my teeth like everybody else. You don't have to do that. Yes, feel the feeling. You see. But then let that feeling go. That's called loving it, blessing it, and releasing it. You let that go quickly, you see. This teaching teaches you that you do not have to live in your feelings. The outside world, what does it say? You made your bed, now you must lie in it. This teaching says you may remake your bed every minute. And you do not have to lie in anything that you do not want to lie in, you see. You do not have to do that. The world tells you that a mistake is something that's immense. What you must say is, thank God we had mistakes. Mistakes are instant karma. It immediately comes back and tells you you were wrong. So you say, oh, thank you. If it didn't, you'd be keep doing that over and over and over and over. You see? There's nothing wrong with making a mistake. Thing that's wrong with it is not noticing it, not accepting it. You say, oh my goodness, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. I'll try something else. And you move on. You move on. You see, the whole idea in life is to move on, is to keep on trucking. But we want to drag all this stuff with us and we want to think that this stuff is so important. Well, you don't understand. I had a divorce. You don't understand. I had this happen to me. I had an illness. I had a bankruptcy. I had that. Are you having any of that stuff now? No. Can you see that's what the mental world we live in? Because you're thinking about it. It's a mental world. That's not happening now. That's a complete in the past. There's nothing to do with it. How many people remember in the Bible, and this is metaphysical, Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife?
Turned into a pillar of salt.
Yes. Why? Because she looked back. And as soon as you look back, you freeze. You cannot move forward. Your mind becomes crystallized in the past. You turn to salt. That's what that means metaphysically. Don't look back. There's nothing back there. That is the whole idea. Let the dead bury the dead. That's dead. It's gone. It's past. Love it, bless it, release it, and only allow the best memories to come forward. If you have to remember something, remember the best memory. You think that your life, it's not your life, your life's not over, your life's not the past, your life is in the living. You see, that's the whole difference of this thing when they came up with Christianity and Muslim and all the different religions. Why did they, what was the one thing that was different? They were worshiping a living God, a God that lives in the now. God isn't in the past. God doesn't live in the past, people. God doesn't live in the future. God only lives in the now. All creativity is in the now. All life is in the now. You can't live tomorrow. You can't live yesterday. You can only live this moment. Okay? You can only live this moment. Mental world we live in. Okay. All right. We didn't do our dance. Didn't we? We better do the dance. Let's get up and do the dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay. I know everyone laughs about that and thinks it's silly, but we love doing that. I had one student that said, oh, she's uncomfortable when she does that. Now, if you're uncomfortable when you do that, what do you think that that is saying to you? Anytime that you feel uncomfortable, anytime that you feel embarrassed, you should look at that. That means that you're not accepting that, and you really don't feel that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And you have to keep doing that till you do. You know, when we get grown up, what we call grown up, I have no idea what that means, but it's a lovely word. We think, oh, well, we're grown up, so now we can't laugh, we can't have fun, we can't do these little silly things that we did when we were children. And it's always going to be the little silly things that you did as children that are the most healing for you. The most healing for you, you see. Come as a little child. What does that mean? Come as a little child means children have an imagination and they can make anything happen. They can play all day in a world of their own. Learn to do that. Play all day in a world of your own. It works. All right. Questions, anybody?
Yeah. I have one. This has to do with the race consciousness, race mind?
Yes.
I had something happen to me when I was driving the other day, and on the news there was all this stuff about the price of gas and the price of food and da 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 da. And I really got mad, and then I had to stop myself to not buy into it. But how do you deal with that when you're bombarded with all this crap all the time?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I very seldom listen to the radio,
okay. So
or news of any type. Because that's only 5% of what is going on. The 95% of the good stuff that's going on, no one talks about. What do I do when I see all these things going up and with gasoline and all that? It is a reality that does not belong to me. So I always say, oh, even though the prices are going up, I will always have the money to buy the gas. Same. And this thing that I call God will show me how to do that. So I never pay any attention to high prices. Now, if prices get so out of hand, I was telling Rhoda, my brother was taking his family to the circus, and he said, do you know that candy cotton is $10? The candy cotton thing is now $10 at the circus.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Yeah, I thought so too. Wasn't that ridiculous?
Sponge
sugar, yeah, $10. These are just things. Now, I wouldn't buy it. See, that I wouldn't buy. When people say, oh, well, just things are so expensive, but if they're that expensive, don't buy them. You know, think of something else to buy. There's tons of things out there. Money is never the issue. The price of things should never be the issue. Look at them and say, I'm choosing not to purchase that until it becomes the price that I want it to become. But But know that money is always freely circulating in your life. You always have divine surplus. What the world right now is doing, because now I told you, I just heard that someplace, that it has finally slipped from a recession into a depression. The world teaches fear. And that's what hit you when you heard all that. And your mind then takes you from that, oh, I won't be able to afford this, I have to sell my car, I have to get a different car. Oh my God, I'm going to live under the bridge. You say, I'm going to become a bag lady, live under the bridge. Your mind will just take you down that road. Don't let it take you down that road. You see, right now a lot of fear is going on. And it's a fear of money at the present moment that's going on everywhere. So people have stopped doing things. You see, they're holding in. Now what do we know about when we do this, when we hold in? The whole idea of the universe, the whole idea of God is the idea of circulation. And you must keep everything in circulation. Once you start to pull back and so forth, the circulation stops, which it has now, you see. Now it'll come right back around again, and people will say, oh, well, this is ridiculous, and they'll start to do it. Then the circulation starts again and light starts up again. That's just, so you just watch those things, you see. And that's all you can do about it. But I never get upset about any of that stuff. No. You don't get upset about those things. Did that help you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Question? You had a question.
Well, I just wanted to comment on that about the money being circulated and choosing. That's not my question, but today, for example, I was thinking of the gas prices, and I was going to take my daughter to the art museum, and I'd gotten online a couple days ago, and it was Target Free Day at the art museum. Everything was free. So I went over there. I didn't have to pay. I paid for the gas to get over there, but I didn't have to pay anything to get to the museum. And then I found a parking space on the street, which was $7. So that was, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, so I was thinking of, in terms of freely circulating, compensating for, yes, you know, choosing a day when I didn't get there. Anyway. I guess, you know, the thing that you're talking about on self-esteem today and everything has really been where my mind has been battling the last couple of days, because the holidays are really hard for me, and my ex has moved on with somebody else, and I've been trying to go back to owning up my power and my esteem, and my mind is going to somehow he's better because he's moved on and he has somebody to do something with over the holidays, and I'm feeling the loneliness and with that coming low esteem, and somehow, and I'm trying to change the thoughts, and they're battling really.
Right. All right, I can change that for you in very easy and very quickly. First of all, you're comparing and you're looking at something, and you're using race mind here, because race mind says, especially to women, if you're not with someone, you're not worth anything. But you never looked at your husband. First of all, I would never use the word ex. I think that's absolutely a horrible thing, my ex. You hear that. That's horrible, you know. He's not ex, he's still around, you know. Say former, say something, whatever you want, but don't use that. That's just my little thing. That will help you. So let's look at what race mind says to women. But what you don't look at is the idea that your husband, yes, he may be with someone at the present moment, but he's the one with the low self-esteem because he has to have somebody. You see, he never looked into himself. He's never done all the stuff that you have done and so forth. He immediately moved from one relationship into another. Therefore, that tells me that he has very low self-esteem. People hide behind a relationship, and they hide their self-esteem with relationships. You are not born into this world to be with any particular person, nor do you need any particular person. What you need is yourself. You have to know that you're completely sufficient to do what you want to do, you see. So you have to pat yourself in the back and not fall for what the race mind tells you. Oh, I'm alone, I'm this, I'm that, look at him, he's got this, that, and the other thing. You have no idea what that relationship is like. And I will tell you, once again, that he's the one with low self-esteem, you see. So that's what you have to remember. And then if you want somebody, start attracting him into your life by realizing how much self-esteem that you have, you see, and do your exercise, do those works and so forth, see. And if you want to be in love with somebody, you have to be in love with them that much that you do not need them. You have to be in love with somebody that much that you do not need them. As soon as you think you need somebody, you will start to manipulate. Manipulation will come in. You see, you must love people that much that you do not need them. That help you?
I don't know.
Another question? I'm good here tonight, huh?
Dallas,
1 in 100.
We just refresh my memory, well, as everyone else's, on our take on forgiveness and sin, this teaching.
Yeah. Well, sin, of course, is a word that they put in the King James Version of the Bible, and sin was an archery term, meaning to miss the mark. We do not believe in sin. People make mistakes, they make errors, they make different things. That's all that is. There's no such thing as sin. Now, what you have to remember is this thing called God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. You see, if God punished you, God would be punishing itself, because we and God are one and the same thing. You have to get that through your head. When you start to think the way you do, August, you start separation going on. And you think that you're somewhere else and God is somewhere else, and you cannot do that, you see. But that is an old teaching, because you were raised Catholic, you see. And the Catholics have a wonderful saying, give me a child to the age of 5 and they will be mine forever. Because the first five years of your life are the most impressionable years in your life. And that's where you learn almost everything that you're trying to do today. And the reason why your life is not working today is because you made up your mind at 5 for different things in your life. How rich you would be, what kind of a man you would marry, all kinds of things that you weren't emotionally ready for, physically ready for, or educationally ready to make those decisions. So now you have running inside of you what we call a map. And that map is not getting you where you want to go. If I gave you a map of Los Angeles that was 100 years old, would you be able to find your way around? No. But you're using a map that you made when you were 5 to try to negotiate this world that you're living in now. And you have to get a new map. You have to get a new map. You must become what's called map makers in this world. And you make your own map, you see. So if things aren't working, you say, what map am I looking at here? And then make a new map. That help you?
Yeah, I just want to go for sure.
Please, people, give up the idea of sin. Give up the idea of guilt. Give those ideas up. You see, this thing called God always holds you in the highest of esteem. Always. And you can never do anything that offends God. The things that you do offend you. They never offend God. This thing called God is beyond thoughts and words. And beyond anything that we can conceive of in our minds. You see, we're the ones who think, oh, that's wrong. God cannot think that's wrong. Why can God not think that's wrong? Because everything God made good. Remember? God created the world and looked down and said, everything was good. Everything is good in the world. When you see something that's not good, it's because you're looking at the first reality, the reality that you're looking through, the shades that you're looking through, the filters that you're looking through. When you take those shades and filters off your eyes, off your mind, off your perspective of what you're looking at, then you see the true reality. Because behind everything is God. Behind everything is love. Behind everything is truth. And when you don't see those things, it's because you're wearing a filter. And that filter is very convincing. The world is convincing. Don't be convinced by the world. If something is not working, you look beyond that. Oh. I gave a wonderful example the other day, last week or the week before, about this whole idea about being disappointed. Oh, I'm so disappointed. Don't be disappointed. If you're disappointed, say, oh, I'm so delighted I'm disappointed because now I know a wonderful surprise is coming to me. And then a surprise will come to you. But if you say, oh, this is disappointing, you're going to stay in the disappointment. That's the filter you're looking through. But if you say, oh, disappointment, I'm so glad you're here because now I know a surprise is coming, and you move that filter away, and my goodness, there's a surprise. It's a mental world we live in. Mental world we live in. We just have to keep changing and changing and changing. You know, when you go to the optometrist and they keep putting those things in, this one, that one, this one, that one, this one, and they finally get the right lens in, and you see clearly. That's all this is about. Which lens do I have in? Which lens? And you keep clicking those lenses around till you see the truth. And the truth is always going to be good. If you see anything but that, you're looking at the wrong filter, through the wrong filters. Make sense? See, this is very easy and very simple. Well, I should say simple sometimes, maybe not so easy. But it can be done. And how am I doing all this? Everything that I tell you, how do I do all this? When I go like this, when I do all this, what am I doing?
Imagination.
I'm using my imagination. I'm using my imagination. And you see, when I use my imagination, I give illustrations like that, you start to understand. Your mind understands that, doesn't it? Because it's your imagination. Imagination is the greatest gift that you have, people. Use your imagination. You see? Your mind wants to tell you, oh, that's just your imagination. That's just your imagination. You can make anything come into your life with imagination and intent. Find out what your intent is and then back it up with imagination and you will have what you want. I think I'll come out with a CD called The Secret. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. So use your imagination. More questions? Or should I ramble?
Just to elaborate on that again with the intent. And I got the imagination, the intent of what you want.
All right, you want to be an actor. That's your intent.
No, I don't want to be an actor. I am an actor.
All right. So then use your imagination. Back it up with imagination. Do you see yourself on a sitcom? Do you see yourself in the movies? Do you see yourself running down the red carpet? Do you see all those things happening? Then you keep that going until it becomes, until it manifests itself. Michelle that comes, she went to a premiere on the red carpet. She was going to walk down the red carpet. And she has pictures of it. I said, take plenty of pictures. And when you're walking down that red carpet, how are you feeling? I want your feet to go into the red carpet. I want you to look around. I want you to see everything. I want you to imagine everything so that you can bring that back and use that, so that you can use those experiences. And they will come into your life. They will come into your life. It's intent and imagination that does it. So you have to imagine yourself in the thing that you want. If you want a new boyfriend or a new lover, whatever you want, start imagining that. At nighttime, when you're in your bed, you roll over and say, good night. Don't do that, do you? Start doing that. That's what you do. Go ahead.
Just to follow up on that, if you're unclear as to where you're going to go with something like that, you know, I'm kind of clear on where I want to go and ask for a career-wise with my daughter.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the whole relationship thing, I realized in my mind, because I really love what you said about the divine design and to ask that. And it's not solidified in my mind now where I'm going to go with that.
So you say this is not solidified in my mind. I do not have a clear picture, but I know that you have a clear picture, God, and that you are giving me that picture right here and right now. You have to learn to use God. We're all living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. If you have a divine design, naturally, for God must know that divine design. God knows exactly what's going on. So you ask here once again, and you say to yourself, I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Therefore, I can ask for these things. You see? Do you remember that word, therefore? Remember I told you once to keep a therefore book instead of a gratitude book? Always use the word therefore. You see, I do that all the time. I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Therefore, I know that I can have what I want. You see, I know that God operates in, as, and through me. Therefore, that is happening right here and right now. So learn to use the word therefore. If you know what therefore, that must happen. I give a treatment, therefore, that must happen. Learning, see, you're not separated. And when you start to think you don't have a clear idea and so forth, you think that you have to use your mind. Well, you don't have a mind, my dear. It's only one mind. You say, so you say, oh God, I know that you know this. I don't know it. Make my mind clear. And then use your imagination that it's clearing. Use your imagination. To, next month, what we'll do, how many people remember washing their brain? Washing your brain. You've never washed your brain?
Washing your brain?
Yes.
Take it out and wash it.
Take it out and wash it. Okay.
Oh.
Let's do the brain. Let's do this. Okay, close your eyes. All right then. Put your hands on your knees. Palms up. Now start to slowly raise your hands up. That's it. Raise them up. Now put them up by your head, but don't touch. Now, as you breathe in, let your hands come out just a little. As you breathe out, let them go in. Now coordinate that with your brain. When you breathe out, you're stretching your brain and you can feel your brain stretching. When you breathe out and in, it stretches and it contracts. It stretches and it contracts. Okay. There you have your brain. Now you're going to just reach in there, in your mind, and take your brain out. And now you're holding it in your hand. That's it. Now you're going to put your brain down, holding it carefully, right in front of your eyes, or face. And then move your hands out just a little. See your... And see your brain. And now see wonderful water, pure, crystal clear water coming down over your brain. As it comes down over your brain, it's washing out all those unneeded messages that you have received, all those old hurts and hates and grudges, all the things that you no longer need, that are no longer serving you. That's it. Just see it. All that toxin, all that toxic waste running out of your brain down by your feet. And now you look down, you see, ooh, what a puddle around my feet. There's that puddle. It's that puddle of toxins. And now let's just gently shake our brain and get that extra water out of there. That's it. Now, ooh, that feels good. Now we're going to take our brain and we're going to take it into our solar plexus. Just bring it in. Now you're going to put it in your solar plexus. And you're going to feel it there in your solar plexus. And as you breathe, you can feel your brain expanding and contracting, expanding and contracting. And now, take your hands and run them up your body as it does. Your brain is moving up with you, right through your body. That's it. Bring it right up. Right up your neck and right back into your head. There it is. Back home again. And it feels so good. And you feel so much lighter and freer. All that toxic gunk is gone. That's it. Just gone. Okay, when you're ready, come back. Now, how did that feel? Yes, wash your brain out. Expand your brain. If you want your brain, you can expand your brain. You can do all of that. We'll work more with energy next month. Remember, we can make energy come and go and send it to people. You can do all kinds of things with your hands, with this energy. It's all we are, people, is energy. We're just a bunch of photons put together. That's all this body that you see in front of you. The reason why you see it is because it is photons, by the way. Photons reflect light, and that's all you see is a reflection. That's just a reflection going on. Very easy. More questions? Or give me an answer. That's Holly.
I kind of had this really cool thing happen. I remember talking, is it last week or the week before, talking about acting as if, and I kept thinking about that all week, and I remembered back to this time years ago where I really wanted to be a bartender because I was waiting tables. I just wanted to be a bartender, and I remember this girl saying to me at the restaurant when we were waiting tables, she's like, I just pretend like I'm bartending when I'm like making drinks back there. So anyway, the whole thing came to me, and I remember doing that, and I was literally like, like 20 or 21, I was like in my bedroom, like pretending to bartend and make drinks. And like within 3 weeks, I stumbled upon this place that just happened to fire their latest bartender because she was no good. and I moved. But I remember doing that. I remember that whole acting as if. And it felt so childish and it felt fun and it felt like, oh God, if anybody could ever see me standing here at my desk or pretending to make cocktails out of perfume bottles, they'd probably laugh. And it worked.
Yes.
And so I had this epiphany, and I was running the other day. I thought, what do I want? I want to go back to Korea. I want to go back to Korea. I want to do another movie. So I started thinking, let's act as if. So I was like, I'm acting as if. I'm getting in shape. I'm going back there. I'm going to do this film. And that night I went to go to dinner with family. And I asked my sister-in-law. They just bought this like $1.5 million condo in the Hollywood area, and they were leasing it out. And I didn't know if they had. And I asked her, did you lease out your condo yet? She said, yeah. And I said, oh, she said, a really nice single woman. And her name was Lucy Kim. And I went, is she a producer? She said, oh, I don't think so. She said, I just think she's independently wealthy. But she said she leased her place. I said, oh, I know Lucy Kim. I said, the same Lucy Kim. She's the one that sent me to Korea. And she went, I don't think so. But I went home. I found her number. I emailed it to my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law emails me back and says, oh, my God, it's the same Lucy Kim. I just got this
one,
so I went, oh God, it worked.
Yes, it works.
It works, it sure works.
So, but we always have to say, oh my God, it works, instead of knowing that it works. Why are we always surprised when it works? You come to this class, you learn all this stuff, and then it works, you go, oh my God, it works. You have to say, oh, it works. You have to know that this works. You have to know that this works. So using your imagination and always acting as if will bring things into your life. And if you use the intent behind it, they come faster. And when you really wanted something, you really got it. And And that's what you have to remember. A loaf of bread appears when you are hungry enough. A loaf of bread appears when you are hungry enough. So get hungry for what you want. Have that intent and do it. And say to yourself, it's time now. I'm tired of all this. I've done all the work. Now it's time for it to work for me. You see, you can say that. Remember, you can stamp your foot and say, I want it now. You can get that. That's getting emotion. That's getting something running in you. You see, and you won't offend this thing called God. You won't offend it at all. And that's what you're afraid of. You're still going to God like, oh, merciful, mighty. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. God is mighty, but God is useful. Start using God. Start using this stuff. And it will work for you. It's the way it's done. The way it's done.
I'm so glad you talked about washing out your brain, because I'm in reliving a lot of memories that really don't serve me.
Good, yes.
And that's what I'm going to do with them.
Yes. Wash them out. They don't serve you.
They don't serve me anymore.
You know, the mind wants to tell you, the world wants to tell you that memories are your life. Well, memories aren't your life.
Not all of
them. No. They're not your life.
But when they were my life, it didn't make it good.
Okay. Yes. So you're all on a wonderful adventure here, and you can all have what you want. So give yourself permission to have what you want. Never feel sorry for yourself. Never feel sorry for yourself. There's that gets you absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. You know. If you want to be in the pity pot, stay on it only a minute. And then get off and say, I'm not staying on this pity pot. Then take affirmative action. Know that this power, this God, is for you, not against you. And what God has done for others, God can do for you. You see? But you have to learn to look at things differently. And you have to learn to accept yourself as a child of God. That you're absolutely connected to this thing called God. And then use this teaching. Use your imagination. And do it. You are here at this present time in the evolution of spirit to know that you are creating your reality. That you are doing that. We are all gods in the making, and we are all godlings. And I told you we were going to start. See, I almost ended. Now I remember something. I talked about heaven and so forth, and everyone wants the Bible, and everyone thinks that all this stuff in the Bible is in the Bible. Most of the stuff you think is in the Bible, you know, is not in the Bible. I explained to you last week that heaven is not mentioned as a place in the Bible, though people think it is. Just ask any Baptist.
Yep.
And it's not in the Bible, I'm telling you. The other thing that's in the Bible that no one wants to talk about is this little phrase, know that ye are gods. Know that ye are gods is in the Bible. They didn't bother to take that out, but they ignore it. The other thing that they always ignore is this. You can do this and more. What I can do, you can do and more is never mentioned, and that is in the Bible. So know that. That there is no special person. We are all special. We all have the power to create our own reality. And what anyone can do, we can all do, and we can do it better. and it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.